Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. People are upset at you.
Well, and they're so missing the point here. There's so many people missing the point. Let me call them out, okay? First of all, I love this on the text line. We got John in Nashville, and we got John from Nashville.
We do, yes.
John in Nashville says, question, is there any school with more than one starting QB in the NFL? Louisville might have two, LOL. John from Nashville says, you guys are attributing Hendon Hooker being cut by the Lions because he played in UT's system. You don't know that was the reason. It could have been numerous things that caused them not to succeed there. Now let's go to Zach Sharp on the YouTube chat. Says, no other school has players flame out in the NFL, only UT. Who's the best NFL QB Kirby has put out? Again, this is not strictly about UT. It's about system. So, like we've talked about this before, this goes back to Baylor. They had this ridiculous run of success with this offense. That's what this is. This is Art Briles' offense that he developed as a high school coach in Texas, brought to Baylor. It has fanned out to other places. It's changed. Heupel has changed it. You know, another guy Heupel had, who had ridiculous numbers, who was a prominent NFL draft pick. His name was Drew Locke, another guy who flamed out. Baylor had a bunch of guys who had ridiculous numbers, who did nothing in the NFL. Now, RG3 was Rookie of the Year, won the Heisman, and then it went downhill from there. How much of that is injury, I don't know. I'm not saying the system caused it. What I'm saying is this system, not just UT, this system. So Ole Miss, if you're a UT fan, you know who you root for to work out in the NFL? You root for Jackson Dart to work out in the NFL because he would buck that narrative. But the narrative has – we're talking almost two decades now of waiting for these guys to work out. And the receivers, there's been some success. I mean, Kendall Wright had a little success here. There have been some guys who have had six, but you also haven't had – I think the thing is it's just the translation is tough early. Whereas college football, most offenses in college football now translate quite well to the NFL. And so you have much quicker adaptation from receivers, really, than you used to. And, you know, quarterbacks, too. Everything's faster, as we've talked about.
Well, and by the way, this is not a Joe Rex Road conversation. Because as we pointed out, Dante Thornton was asked about this and is talking about this with the Raiders. Like, this is clearly on the mind of NFL teams and NFL evaluators, is looking at the offense that Tennessee runs, and they're not the only ones, but that Tennessee runs, and saying, all right, can you translate what you did at Tennessee to the NFL, which is totally different, and that's at quarterback, but it is also at wide receiver, right? Like, wide receiver, you're not running wide splits out there in the NFL. It's a different thing. You're not running choice routes all the time where you're making one read and going, like against one guy singled up all the time. Like, it's a very different game in the NFL.
And I'm with you. Like, if I'm Heupel, I'm not changing it. It is. Kirby Smart said this a couple years ago before they smothered Tennessee in that huge game in Athens. He said it was on game day, and I'd never heard it put that. I remember that week I wrote like a 3,000-word story about this offense and all this stuff, all these different, you know, a lot of interesting stuff. But then he said that. I'm like, God, that's brilliant. That's exactly what it is. Like, this is basically today's version of, like, the wishbone. And so if you're old enough to remember, like, those Oklahoma and Nebraska teams and those quarterbacks, Scott Frost, Jamel Howley, great stars in college football, Heisman winners, Heisman candidates, but you knew they weren't going to play in the NFL. This is not exactly that, but it is. It's a scheme that works. It's a scheme that gives you massive production. It is a scheme that, like, what you're doing on a snap-by-snap basis, you just aren't doing in the NFL, and there really aren't, other than other option. Like, you know, the service academies still run like a lot of trill, but, like, that's the same. Obviously, that also doesn't translate. Again, the question is just, I'm not changing it. If it's working, I'm winning. That is my job. The question is, at some point, does it, not just for Tennessee, but for any school running this offense, become something where you start losing people because, well, we're offering the same amount of money. We have huge numbers here. I mean, Nick Saban, you know, Nick Saban loves to be like, well, we just send guys to the NFL. That's why we recruited so well. Well, come on. You know, back before NIL, there was NIL, okay? But Alabama won, and also they sent so many guys to the league.
Yep.
And it's just like, if you want to be – you want to play for championships and you want to be in the NFL, Alabama. Same thing now with Georgia. They're just – it's just an NFL feeder program. You want that. That takes you to the higher level. And if you're Tennessee, what do we talk about? Can you get to that top shelf? And I do wonder a little bit if this – starts to hurt in some cases as we see people continue to not work out in the league.
Well, and again, like, people keep coming back to, like, were the players that we're talking about in Tennessee's perspective, whether it's Hooker or Milton or Hyatt or whatever, like, are they really that good? I don't know. Like, certainly Hooker, but his profile before he got to Tennessee did not lead you to believe that he was going to be an NFL player, right? Now, he came to Tennessee, and he played great in that offense. Milton, a little bit higher level of recruit. Everybody saw the arm. It's unbelievable.
Right.
But we know what the limitations are with Milton in terms of he's throwing it 5,000 miles an hour all the time. So there have been things with each of these guys, both before they got to Tennessee and after Tennessee, that you can nitpick about all of them, which is why I continue to say what they really need to stop all this is one of these next two quarterbacks that they've recruited at a pretty high level to come in, hit at Tennessee, hit in the NFL, and a guy like Mike Matthews, who is a five-star recruit, to hit this year at Tennessee, hit next year at Tennessee, and then hit in the NFL. That's what they need. And if that happens, we're not going to be talking about this anymore.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another thing. You know, here's a text here. It says, I think the story is probably that the majority of players will win the NFL regardless of the system. Oh, that is true. But again, we're talking about narratives. We're talking about system. It's something NFL people talk about. It's something coaches talk about to recruits, I promise you.
Yeah.
Like, you can pretend that's not the case, but it is the case. And sometimes those things can be exaggerated. Of course they can. But this is not nothing. Here's another thing. What if Nico goes to UCLA
and plays great
and lights it up?
Yep.
And goes, you think if he then goes to NFL, he's not going to say, well, getting away from that Tennessee system really helped me get ready. He will. I promise you. Yeah, get ready for it.
Paul Karski has weighed in on our own personal text line.
Oh, boy.
Says he's coming in late. Says, Joe would have taken Hooker 11th. Has this been covered? Mea culpa. Forgiveness requested. He's wondering.
Well, yeah, like, I clearly was wrong. I mean, again, people are getting mad at me because I'm like, well, it doesn't mean, like, could he possibly recover, find another place, get better, have a chance at some point? I mean, I don't think what we saw in 2022 was just smoke and mirrors all propped up by Heupel and Alex Golish. I think what we saw was a really good freaking football player. But, yeah, of course, I was wrong. I mean, dude, again, I thought Ryan Leaf was a better choice than Peyton Manning, okay? So just start there. Now, I'm wrong all the time. Now, people get mad, though, if you don't close the door. He will never throw a pass. He will never tie his shoes again. I'm not going to say that. And I do think that someone like him, not necessarily him, but not necessarily not him, could be a decent idea for the Tennessee Titans.
Well, we will get into that coming up next. Does that qualify as a mea culpa from Rex Road? We'll take your thoughts on that.
I'm wrong.
Well.
I was wrong.
Take your thoughts on that as well. We also have a spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League to give away coming up next. We will do it. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. People are still yelling at Rex Road. Kaharski's
great. Yeah, well, Kaharski's full of crap. Just shut up, Kaharski. Seriously, shut up. Again, it's funny because Kaharski loves it. Oh, he went to divorce, and so you're such a homer. Well, yes. It must have been purely orange homerness.
GB Joe, baby.
That's right. It couldn't have been the 58 touchdowns and 5 interceptions in 2 years. It couldn't have been that in 2022, he was the clear Heisman frontrunner. He was epically, incredibly clutch and productive and awesome in a win over Alabama. It was an all-time game with a duel between Hooker and Bryce Young, who everybody knew was probably going to be the number one pick. Couldn't possibly be that he was good at all or might play in the NFL. That, You just had to be a pure homer to think that. There's no data to support it whatsoever. Great call, Kaharski. Shut up.
Bewildering and outrageous.
Nice.
One texter says, it's very possible that Hendon Hooker was a good college player and is nothing but a third stringer, backup at best. It's very possible. Entirely likely, actually. It wasn't hard to see if your glasses aren't orange.
Okay. Okay. No reason to think he might be good, just only if you're a homer. You had to be part of Vol Twitter. Everybody else who wasn't in Vol Twitter was like, this guy sucks. What has this guy done? What's he doing? He doesn't do anything good. What are we looking at here? You homers. I mean, it's such revisionist history. It's comical. And again, Hendon Hooker on his own in a vacuum, most people don't work out. Most great college quarterbacks don't work out at all in the NFL. So that's what it is. I mean, and maybe it's true that Hendon Hooker, if he wasn't in that system, never has a whiff of success. That's possible. Maybe. I hear you. This is the two things being true. But what I'm saying is, here's a yet another guy in this system, not just at Tennessee, but in this system, that has gone to the NFL and it has not worked out. And if you don't think people are talking about that, if you don't think that every coach in college football who recruits against any team that runs this offense isn't yelling that through a megaphone, you're crazy. And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I totally agree. Ben says, by the time one of these recruited quarterbacks hit at Tennessee for a couple years, then hit in the NFL, it'll be 2030. Can Heupel survive?
Well, is he winning?
Long? Yeah, is he winning games? Then yeah, like he's won at a pretty high level. Now I understand that, you know, eventually you're going to get to the point where it's like, okay, are you competing for national championships? And look, I said it at the time, the Adidas money, when that kicks in, it's going to be like, well, okay, you're good. You've been a top 10 recruiter. You got all this money coming in and you say it's going to make a big difference in recruiting. You better get yourself into the top five. Like you better recruit at a high level. So I'm not saying that there are not challenges coming for Heupel. But, I mean, he's been a pretty consistent winner here. So we'll see. I think it's certainly plausible that he could still be there in 2030.
I mean, someone brought up USC as another program with a great tradition, obviously, of sending guys to the NFL. And that has continued in Lincoln Riley. I'll take being Josh Heupel with a system everybody's ripping and going 10-2 over Lincoln Riley sending the number one QB to the NFL and going 7-5. Because that's going to get him fired.
Yeah.
You know, if you win, if your system works, you're going to stick with it. Now, again, if it gets to the point where you have to go to option 4 or 5 at quarterback, or you're missing out on the 5-star Mike Matthews at receiver because of this narrative, well, that might end up affecting you and affecting your success.
Devin says, Joe, stop yelling. The old lady standing in her mailbox that I just gave her mail to looked at me funny. You're scaring my customers.
Wait, when you got me going like guys going like in the AirPods or something? Is it bleeding through the AirPods? No.
Kuharski's trying to take a victory lap on Twitter too.
Oh so. God!
Yeah.
hey, Paul, the NFL season is about to start. Do some work.
We'll have Paul on our show later this week at some point.
Guess we get to revisit this.
Here was this tweet quote: "Beat down Joe Rexroad over Hooker on 102.5 The Game. He was a third or fourth round pick. Joe thought worth 11th overall."
You're such a dumbass, Kaharski. You know, so I want you to tell me right now, Paul.
You weren't monitoring your tone very much.
You weren't. Not much tone monitoring there.
Have you ever, Paul, overestimated a quarterback? Have you ever said, you know what? I think that guy's a first-round quarterback. And then the quarterback turned out to not be good? I'll hang up and listen. Let me know. I'm sure it's never happened. I'm sure you've never done that before.
So should
again, every year I'm wrong on this or that quarterback, but I mean, he's just seizes on this. Oh yeah, you've always colored glasses.
So Archie, should the Titans go after Hendon Hooker now at this point?
Look, I would say no, because it didn't look good this preseason at all. And as some people pointed out, how much of this is like the knee and not? I mean, it could be. I don't know. I mean, based on how he looked, I wouldn't do it. But laughing at the idea. I mean, I read Andrew's tweet earlier about, anybody who thinks they're better than what they have is crazy. Dude, it's Brandon Allen and Trevor Siemian. I definitely would like to see the Titans look at QB3 and find a developmental prospect for that. So Kyle McCord's out there. Okay, maybe that's a better option than Hendon Hooker. I'm just saying, like, again, I wouldn't go with Hendon because it just right now it just doesn't look good. Okay. But I think to laugh it off, that look at their QB2 and QB3.
Look at Trevor Siemian.
I mean, come on. What good does it do for you? I guess PK thinks Simeon's going to be QB2. Either one of them. Whoever loses at QB3, what good does that do you? It does you no good. Get a young guy who might develop. Hendon Hooker is one of those guys. Someone will make him their QB3 as a developmental prospect. Maybe Kyle McCord is a better option. There undoubtedly will be others.
Get Tommy DeVito's out there.
There we go.
Cutlets got cut.
Yeah, it's the third guy. I mean, DeVito might be better than Brandon Allen. Who knows?
He might be.
I mean, look, I don't mind. I want Cam Ward's backup to be a veteran guy. Like, I don't mind Brandon Allen being the backup for Cam Ward. But I'm with you from the standpoint of, like, do you need Brandon Allen and Trevor Siemian? Like, do you need both those guys in your organization? Like,
no.
Why not have it as as your third guy be one of those developmental players that maybe eventually can become a pretty good number two for you at that point. Whereas, you know, with Siemian and Allen, like, you know what those guys are, which are not very good backup quarterbacks in the NFL. That's what they are. So I think it's worth a shot, worth keeping your eye on the next couple of days. Again, I probably would not do it with Hooker, but maybe it is McCord. Maybe it's somebody like that shakes loose here today.
Yeah, I think you really need to think about a young guy. We have a point that some people are making that I think is a really good one I want to address.
Okay.
Also, I like this point. PK shouldn't take victory last because he never gives projections or predictions. That's a good point.
Okay. We'll
you
see.
Were wrong.
What did you say?
I had no opinion.
Congratulations, Jack.
It is time. We will continue this discussion coming up next. But right now, it is time to give away another spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy League. We talked about it yesterday. We're going to give these away different ways this week. Yesterday was calling in. Today, we do have a trivia question for you on the text line. The 1994 Tennessee quarterback room featured two future Hall of Famers, Peyton Manning, Todd Helton, who is a baseball Hall of Famer. But neither one of those guys were actually the quarterback to start that season. Name me the quarterback who started that season for Tennessee. The first person to correctly guess on our text line will win a spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. We'll have more coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. By the way, thank you all for the text. Good Lord, do we just get a lot of text trying to get in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy League.
Good
job.
I
lost count.
People are going nuts over here.
Our winner, who was first in his response, Billy from Bellevue on the text line, correctly guessing that Jerry Colquitt, the quarterback for Tennessee that year, who, if memory serves me correctly, I believe played 7 plays and then blew out his knee. So, tough one there for Jerry Colquitt in 1994. But Billy from Bellevue, the newest member of the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. If you did not win, fret not. We have a spot to give away tomorrow. We have a spot to give away Thursday. We have 2 spots to give away on Friday. So 4 more opportunities this week for you to land a spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. And like I said, we will give them away in different ways. Not always just trivia question. Not always a call in. A combination of things we will do to give these spots away.
Keep you on your toes. Keep you on your toes.
So keep them coming. We appreciate the interest in our Fantasy Football League every year. And again, an opportunity to take on Rex Road, myself, Ian, and see if you can beat Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com in the Fantasy Football League as well, who is Rex Road's best friend at the moment.
Should I play? Kyle Tucker sent us, every once in a while, sent his little audio clip of his own PK. Hold on. Hold on. Let me see if I can find this. Oh, wait.
Oh, it disappeared?
It disappeared. How did it disappear?
A disappearing message.
Anyway, it was a very good impersonation. So, again, we keep going around and around with this, like people missing the point. So, Josh in Kentucky says, why would a college coach be worried about how his QBs are performing in the NFL? That doesn't make any logical sense to me whatsoever. And I said, because when you recruit quarterbacks, every one of them is going to say, can you get me to the NFL?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, why is this hard to understand? He says, relax, Joe. One guy's failure in the NFL doesn't mean another guy will fail the same way just because of the offense he ran in college. Right. But again, we're not talking about one guy. We're talking about this goes back to the 2010s and Baylor. It is a system. And it is a narrative in recruiting. Another thing that Vols fans are throwing at me that I think is a totally flawed argument, and let's go to Abel on the YouTube chat. He says, Hooker and Milton never see the NFL if they don't come to Tennessee, period. Now, that may be true
I think it is true with Hooker.
I think that may be true about Hooker. I mean, look, I still saw him play football in 2022, and it's hard for me to believe that you put him in some different offense. He's just like, and throwing the ball into the ground and doing nothing. But, I mean, look, he obviously didn't work out at Virginia Tech, so the Tennessee transfer, by the way, to Jeremy Pruitt's program, it turned out to be fortuitous and an incredible match for him. No question. So I could buy that. Joe Milton, yeah, it didn't work out at Michigan in his first year of trying to play. And we understand Milton's limited. He's flawed. I don't think he's going to be an NFL star. Joe Milton was going to be 6'5", 260, with a cannon arm that could throw the ball a million miles with good athleticism no matter where he was. He was going to be in the NFL. The Tennessee, he didn't have a good year at Tennessee. That year didn't help him.
Yeah.
If anything, it hurt him. So that's those two guys should not be viewed the same way in any way. That's why Joe Milton won the job over Hooker, because it was like, oh my God, Hooker can't, no one could throw some
practice
of these passes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're wrong. You're totally wrong about Milton. I think you may be right about Hooker. And again, that's a fair point to make about if an offense elevates what a player is and gives him a better shot at the NFL, is that not a good thing? Yes. But you still want people to work out in the NFL from an offense that has been hammered for years
yep.
by coaches recruiting against it, saying it doesn't prepare you for the NFL.
Yeah, like it's
there are
it's
certain coaches that this Quincy Avery, quarterback coach
yeah,
guy,
yep.
he says he can't imagine sending a kid with a shot at the NFL to UT.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, whether you think it's a talent thing that's caused this to happen or not is not really the point. This is going to be used, and the more examples that pop up about it, the more that other programs and NFL evaluators are gonna question this thing, right? Like if you're, like I said earlier, if you're Florida and you're in a recruiting battle with Tennessee right now for a quarterback, you don't think you're going to be throwing this out there? Like, go look at that system and tell me the quarterback that's played well in the NFL. You don't want to go there. And look, it hasn't worked to this point. It has not affected Tennessee in their recruiting to this point at quarterback.
Right.
The question is, does it at some point? Does it affect them at some point? And more importantly, with the talent that Tennessee is bringing in at quarterback, knowing that, you know, look, let's be honest here. Jake Birkelinger just lost the job to Joey Aguilar. He ain't going to be there next year. Jake Birkelinger will not be at Tennessee next year. It's probably going to be a competition next year between Faison Brandon and George McIntyre. And the winner of that will be the quarterback, and the loser may leave after that year. I have no idea what it's going to look like. So you're probably, despite all these guys you're bringing in as recruits, you're going to have one guy where it needs to really hit with. I don't know if it's McIntyre. I don't know if it's Brandon. I don't know who it is. But it needs to hit at the NFL level with one of these guys.
Yeah. And again, Jackson Dart, like, the overall narrative needs a counterpoint, basically. Now, some people have brought up on the text line, Dennis included, Houston. And it's a good point that they're run and shoot, the Jack Pardee run and shoot going back to the late 80s. Two guys in particular who just lit it up, Andre Ware, Heisman, David Klinger, and both of them flamed out in the NFL. The interesting thing about that is, again, that's a different time. Now, the run and shoot actually did – that was starting to proliferate around the NFL. Andre went to Detroit, which ran a version of the run and shoot, the Miles Davis run and shoot. Different offense than Tennessee's offense. But, you know, that was a big narrative back then. Eventually, again, a lot of guys in those – I mean, the air raid quarterbacks, people – when Mahomes came out, people were still saying, how many guys from the air raid have made it? Josh Heupel.
Well,
Josh Heupel was a Heisman. What, he finished second in the Heisman?
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't talented enough to be an NFL quarterback. But that was still a narrative thing that people used. And eventually that goes away because enough air raid guys work out. Tim Couch was an air raid guy who didn't work out. So there's an example of a narrative finally being busted. It's like, yeah, some of these guys can make it because it's all over the place. But this Art Briles offense just has not produced that at this point. I'm sorry. It just hasn't.
Well, and on that point, too – going back to the the quarterback part of this. Like, they've got Brandon coming in, who is, you know, an Elite 11 guy. He's been to all these camps. He is the type of guy that, from a talent perspective, we'll see how it plays out, but from a talent perspective, you think about being an NFL player, right? Like, you think about he's going to be in the NFL. So if you're of the belief that either Hooker or Milton or whoever have not been talented enough to really hit as an NFL quarterback, well, hopefully with the level that they've been recruiting at, the talent part of it starts to change moving forward, and that's not the problem anymore. He's talented. Does he have all the other stuff? And does Heupel and that offense help him along in that process here? But to your point, like, it is kind of amazing looking back at the entire history of the offense and looking around at the NFL, and you're talking about, like, RG3's rookie year is basically it when it comes to success in the NFL as quarterbacks who run that system. I mean, more or less, that's what it is.
Yeah, and I've always thought, like, yeah, it's just coincidental. Yeah, it's just how it's worked out. Like, you're going to get someone who comes in, runs this offense, and they're gonna be good. They're going to end up being good. I thought Nico, if Hooker didn't work out, which, again, I thought he would. I was wrong. I thought Nico was a great candidate. Like, and I still think he has the tools to be an NFL quarterback. But now, of course, if he does it, it won't be from this offense. And, I promise you, like, this will end up being a knock against the Tennessee offense if he does really well at UCLA and gets drafted. It will come up, and I bet you he gives answers that don't, you know, fan the flames. I would be willing to bet on that. Texter says, just wait until Heupel gets Joey Aguilar drafted. Well, that if he does, that'd be pretty good, because I don't think Joey Aguilar is an NFL prospect.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get into. We will do that. We will look ahead to the final day of cuts for the Titans as well. Roster cutdown day is today, and the NFL cuts are already starting to roll in throughout the league, so we will keep you updated on all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Tune in for the Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix race on 1025 The Game this Sunday. Coverage beginning at 1 o'clock, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Speaking of the Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix, I got some tickets to give away for the Grand Prix coming up at the Nashville Super Speedway August 30th, August 31st. To caller number 4, 615-737-1025. Caller 4 will win a pair of tickets to the Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix this weekend at the Nashville Super Speedway, 615-737-1025. Joe, we did not plan to kind of devolve into this discussion for the last hour, but people are really fired up about this.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
Again, it's like this. The point is just that, you know, this stuff matters in recruiting. You want to recruit the absolute best. Like, is Heupel still going to get good talent? Absolutely. And, again, if he's winning, I'm keeping the system. You know, if I'm winning and I'm in the playoff and I'm knocking on the door year after year, I'm not changing that. But the question is, at some point down the road, do you lose out on some, again, especially at those two positions? I don't really buy it running back. I think if you're a running back, you look at Tennessee, just got SEC play. The last two guys go on the NFL. And running back, like, the mechanics of the position in this offense are rough. It's no different, right? I mean, you're running the football. Yes, you run in some lighter boxes because of what the offense does to a defense. But I don't think that's a big deal. Offensive lineman, no big deal. Your pass sets, right? You run the ball.
Right.
It's quarterbacks and it's receivers. What they do on a regular basis in this offense is just different from other offenses, and it is not translatable to the NFL. And that's what people are just using that, and they keep seeing it over all this time. It's not just Tennessee. It is this offense. You go back to Missouri, Heupel's the OC there. Drew Lock, ridiculous numbers. Flames out in the NFL. Is it because of the system? I don't know. I'm not saying it is. It could be for any number of reasons for all these guys. But if they all don't work out, people are using that against you on the recruiting trail, like it or not.
It is roster cutdown day in the NFL. The Titans have made some cuts to this point. Now, nobody of real note yet. You know, Jaquan Jackson, probably the headliner yesterday, and I don't think there's a person around here that expected Jaquan Jackson to make the football team. So more roster cuts are coming today. Cuts around the league are happening right now. Tommy DeVito has been cut by the New York Giants.
There's
we'll see what that could look like. Kyle McCord out there, as we talked about. So on the quarterback front, a couple of interesting guys that could be out there for the Titans or somebody else to take a look at. And I guess what I'm really looking for today, Joe, is who makes it at running back. And even beyond today, let's say Chestnut and Mullings are still there at the end of the day. Over the next few days here, are there running backs out there that the Titans bring in? Like, do they bring in some other guys? We know edge rusher is going to be a place on the waiver wire that you keep your eye on. Cornerback probably going to be a place you keep your eye on in the waiver wire as well if you're the Titans. But other than that, like, I guess the real roster questions right now today are how many receivers are they keeping? How many tight ends are they keeping? What's that going to look like in terms of the numbers game there? Who's your punt returner? And then that's probably where we're going to see, like, the bottom part of the roster shake out that way. Is James Prochet on the team? Is he not?
Yeah, I think that's probably the big question is Prochet, is he necessary? Do they find him necessary? I would say unless you're really questioning DK being able to just do the job at a decent level, if you feel like you might have another Kyle Phillips on your hands who you have two or three muff punts that change games, you're worried about that? Okay. Because I don't think Prochet is that much of a difference maker. I think he's good, but it's not like, you know, I think you're going to have like one of the best punt returns in the league. He's good. He would be your best option there. Can you get by with DK and give yourself another player at one of those other spots?
Yeah. And is there, you know, is there somebody else at receiver that's out there that gets shaken free that you'd rather take a look at here? Like, to me, if you're keeping seven and Prochet is your guy, well, that's obviously you're sacrificing a spot somewhere else. If DK is your guy, then it's simple and there's your six. But, like, if you're keeping Prochet, do you go seven or do you look at Van Jefferson and you're like, you know, we just got to move on. Like, we got to move on from Van Jefferson and hope that these two rookie fourth rounders turn into something at some point this year. I don't know. I mean, there were Titans fans 2 weeks ago ready to escort Van Jefferson out of town.
Yeah.
And then he redeemed himself last week in the preseason game.
A week ago, it was like, get him out of here. And now it's like, ooh, Van Jefferson, okay. But, yeah, remember, and, of course, all due respect, Ravenwood product, Nashville kid, he had 250 yards receiving last year.
Yeah.
In the NFL.
He's like a fifth guy.
This is not some indispensable player. So, yeah, look, if you feel good, I think especially Eli Manor, how good do you feel about him?
Yeah.
If you feel really good about him being ready to have a significant role, is that the surprise cut to keep Prochet? Van Jefferson is what I'm saying here.
And do I get to take a victory lap tomorrow about Josh Wiley being cut?
Oh, I think so.
I think so, too.
Yes.
I think so, too.
That take, whereas my Restrepo making the team take, you will look good and I will again.
But I will say, Restrepo was not part of the first round of cuts yesterday. So
yay.
My guess is that their intention with him is to get him on the practice squad would be my guess.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to have problems doing that. Like, I doubt very seriously Restrepo goes somewhere else and is going to be playing this year. So I think the NFL has kind of told you their thoughts on Restrepo. So for the Titans faction of fan base out there that for some reason continues to be obsessed with Xavier Restrepo, he's probably going to be on your practice squad. I'll put it that way.
There you go. And if you love Mason Kinsey, his 12th straight year on the practice squad, incoming. Is there like a limit? I thought there was a limit on that. PK, do something productive rather than
that's a good question.
Take
look.
Your stupid victory laps. And that change, I think that might have changed during COVID, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Because like Mason Kinsey has a chance here to have a Hall of Fame 15-year practice squad career in the NFL.
Yeah, like he's putting together a resume,
that's
man.
That's great work if you can find it, man.
I agree. And he's breaking down the team huddle the other day. Guy, Brian Callahan loves that guy.
Absolutely. I mean, every coach here has loved that guy. Yeah. Fans love that. I don't. And you know what? In all seriousness, with Mason Kinsey, when in the rare opportunities he's had to contribute on games, he's been fine.
Yeah. Okay, it looks like 16 players make up the practice squad and a maximum of six with any number of accrued seasons.
Okay.
I believe that there used to be like an actual limit on how many years you could be on a practice squad. So Mason Kinsey can just...
So you have six.
He can be there forever.
He can be there until he's age 50.
The remaining 10 are by players with two or fewer accrued seasons.
Kind of a sweet gig.
Hell yes.
You don't have to worry about getting destroyed out there. It's good stuff.
I mean, I suppose like You're on the show team, as Vrabel puts it. I like to call it show scout team. Yeah, stupid. Come on, Vrabel. Then, you know, you might be able to take a hit here or there, I guess, right?
Maybe do that. I mean, do they hit very much in NFL practice?
Not really. Yeah. Like in the old days, you'd actually get bludgeoned, you know, by some safety. But now you're, there's not a lot of contact going on. So it's pretty sweet.
It is.
Good for you, Mason Kinsey.
We will keep you updated throughout the day today on roster cutdown day in the NFL. I mean, who knows? We may see some more stuff going on around the league. Yesterday, a pretty eventful day in the league. It's funny how, like, you know, these deadlines with the rosters encourage movement. Yesterday, we saw Trey Hendrickson get his deal worked out. We saw Kenny Pickett get traded. We saw Terry McLaurin get his deal worked out. A lot of stuff happening yesterday. So maybe some more action today. Well, maybe Micah Parsons today. Who knows?
Yep. It's about time for Micah. And then I'm just very interested with the Titans on the waiver wire. I really believe that they're going to pick. I'll be shocked if there aren't at least a couple pickups off the waiver wire for the Titans with the first claim. I just can't believe that there aren't going to be some guys out there that will be instant obvious upgrades for them at various positions. Maybe it could be three or four guys.
Tommy DeVito, QB2.
I don't hate Kyle McCord as QB3. As a young guy coming out, get rid of one of these old dudes and get a young guy in here. Hendon Hooker is also out there, by the way.
He is.
Just saying.
That does it for us today on the program. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.